Book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keep the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Amen. I'd like to preach for a little while on the distance between the promise and the fulfillment. Amen. The distance between the promise. Oh, you say, what is to be will be. Somebody said, what is to be will be if it never does happen? Amen. Is that the case? Do you believe in fatalism? In just going with the tide and it'll come out all right? Tell Hezekiah that with his face turned to the wall. God said, I'm going to take your life. You're going to die and not live. Hezekiah didn't believe what is to be will be. He didn't believe that he was destined irrefutably and unchangeably to die. And he turned his face to the wall and cried out to God, who can change things. Now God has spoken, and there's a great future for God's remnant. By that remnant, I'm talking about what's left of the apostate church that's burned out and left dead in their tracks, far, far behind, as God gets ready to make another mighty surge forward in revival. God's promised revival. God's promised awakening. You turn that air conditioner off back there. God's promised a move of God. Amen. God's promised a quickening. Praise God. God's promised help. But will you be in on it? That is the question. Oh, God's promised the Holy Ghost, and some feel that, amen, just as soon as they make mental consent of faith in acceptance of the gospel, amen, that they are automatically filled with the Holy Ghost. Whole denominations believe and preach that. Amen. They don't hardly even pray. They don't hardly even stand. Amen. They ask a few questions by a preacher, and then the preacher tells them that the Holy Ghost has done the rest. I'll be the first to tell you that the Holy Ghost is very extensive in His panoply. Amen. He's unlimited in His works. And He can do all things and do them well. Praise God. And He does honor faith. Amen. But half-heartedness won't get it. We're not automatically destined to a golden day tomorrow. We're not even promised tomorrow. If we don't get a hold of God. Amen. Amen. Daniel read books. Well, what about that? A preacher that reads books written by other preachers. Amen. I've seen a few that got so high in God, amen, that they couldn't read nothing that any other preacher wrote. Especially if it contradicted their preconceived, presumptuous opinion. Amen. But Daniel wasn't like that. I want to tell you, you go through enough and you really get sold out for God and to God, amen, you'll be desperate for anything that any man of God's got to give you if he be a true man of God. Amen. And old Daniel now, he knew that Jeremiah was God's man. He knew that he was God's prophet. And he read in his prophecies. He had them written down. And he read it. He read in the book of Jeremiah that God told Israel in captivity to build houses and plant vineyards. You're going to be there a long time. Amen. He told them how long they're going to be there. Got Jeremiah into trouble because they were very patriotic. They were very zealous and nationalistic. And amen. Oh boy, you name it, they was it. You talk about racism, you talk about schism, you talk about division. I mean, here is a group of people that feel they are exclusive. They got a corner on Abraham. They were there in John's day, too. They felt like they had a corner on Abraham. Amen. But he said to that bunch, he said, "Think not that we have Abraham to our fathers. God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham." God has a promise for Abraham. God has a promise for a remnant of Abraham's children. But the distance between the promise and the fulfillment is what we've got to find. Amen. There are a group of Pentecostals today that's going to be left standing in the shadows just like the Methodists. Some of them are still going to be going through the motions as God runs off and leaves them behind because they've allowed the world, the flesh, and the devil to take over in their lives and in their churches, and anything goes. Amen. Why do preachers go charismatic and lead whole churches down the charismatic road? By that I mean the neo-charismatic movement as we know it. Charismatic's not a bad word in itself. Amen. But this world of putting on the dog church, amen, is only about 30 years old. Huh? Amen. Why do men of God lead their churches down the charismatic road? I'm going to let you in on a secret tonight. A lot of people don't know this. Amen. But one word spells it all out. U-N-B-E-L-I-E-F. What's that spell? Unbelief. Sister Collins has a hard time, amen, getting my words when I spell them. So I have to spell them slow. Amen. Amen. Unbelief. Praise God. I rode all the way to Missouri and back with a preacher to another elder preacher's funeral. Amen. We talked about his situation all the way out there and all the way back. And I said, I know what your problem is. He said, what? I said, unbelief. He was taken aback. Amen. He couldn't fathom the fact of unbelief. How in the world can people that seem to be big on faith, big on trusting God, big on prosperity, big on miracles, amen, be little in faith? That's why they left holiness to start with. They got tired of waiting on God. That's why they left the old path to start with. They got tired of waiting on God. They got tired of being numbered with the faithful few. And they wanted to get numbered with the many and the big. Amen? Yes. Amen. And so in unbelief, they compromised. Amen. Friend of mine took a church. Amen. And because a lot of the holiest folks didn't back him and left. Amen. He said, if I lose one more family, I won't be able to pay the bills. Well, he's got a whole lot of kin folks on his mother's side and dad's side that's got money. Amen. But they're not holiness. Amen. They don't have holiness standards. Amen. And if he can just get Larry in, amen, his nephew, or his uncle's son in, amen, and some on his mother's side in, these people have got money and they've got position in the community, but he would have to compromise. So instead of fasting and praying and getting a hold of God, and realizing that old Slick can't make it like he's always made it, that he's going to have to pray through and get something from heaven and get something from God and have a real revival, he makes the big decision in order to allow his cousins on both sides into the church. He lets down the gate. Amen. You know what caused him to let down the gate? Ask me after church, I'd tell you his name. Amen. I laid the church in his hands. Amen. Send him a tape if you want to. Amen. I played him a tape riding up and down the street. Amen. 18 years ago. Stop the wedding. Boy, he thrilled to it 18 years ago. He said, boy, I said, just hearing you introduce that, I could preach that message. Because he still hadn't made the big decision. When the church fell on hard times, I talked to him on the telephone. I dreamed about something along that line. Amen. And he said, my services said they're just hard. They're hard. Amen. And he said, if I lose one more family, we won't be able to pay the bills in the church. Amen. That's the testing time for the pastor. When you come to that place, you'll either resign, pray through, or compromise. You don't have very many alternatives. Just three. It's that simple. Amen. I think he should have resigned. I don't think he ever should have took the church to start with. Amen. But instead of resigning and going the way the Lord led him, amen, to start with, he compromised. Amen. He took in those kin folks that had money to help pay the bills. What caused the compromise? Unbelief. A lack of faith in God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It's hard on the old flesh to know that we can't do it. that we can't fly this plane by the seat of our pants. If we do, the first thing you know, we're going to be flying upside down and won't even know it. And that's exactly what a lot of ecclesiastical pilots are doing tonight. They're flying by the seat of their pants in the fog. And they're flying upside down and losing altitude and don't even know it. They don't believe their instruments anymore. Amen. What's our instrument? Right here it is. Amen. Everything that ought to be right side up is upside down. Everything's backward. Nothing's going right. Now the pilot's completely disoriented. Amen. How does the pilot get his plane righted once he gets it upside down? You go back to the instruments and trust the instrument, not the seat of your pants. Amen. You'll find that out. And you wouldn't want a pilot, amen, piloted the plane through the clouds and the storm and the fog and zero disability, flying by his feelings. You want him to fly by the instruments. Follow the radar. Stay beamed in. Amen. Why do preachers lead whole churches down the charismatic road? Because they're tired of being small. They're tired of being hated. They're tired of fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. Now, one that left here, amen, and started out in another way, said, I'd rather have people and not preach holiness than to preach holiness and not have people. He's got people. He's tried several churches. But I won't tell you what's going to happen. All of these Johnny come lately that's left the Lord for their own ways, that's copying world and worldly tactics. Amen. Here's what happened to the church. Years ago, on old black and white TV, Jack Parr had a talk show, which was later taken over by another young man. Amen. Johnny Carson. Amen. He was interviewing movie stars and baseball and sports celebrities and football celebrities and officials and entertainers and singers and had an adult night show. And it was very popular in some circles. Amen. Then comes along Jim Baker. He's tired of the old past. He's tired of the old way. Amen. And so he starts a talk show on TV copying the same tactics of Jack Parr and Johnny Carson. Amen. He's interviewing sports celebrities that claim to be same filled with the Holy Ghost. He's interviewing Roy Rogers and Dale Evans who claim to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oral Roberts is interviewing Johnny Cash and a few heathen and trying to talk to them like they're saved. Amen. And the world copies the church copies the world's tactics in order to gain a following. You know what caused it in the first place? You know what caused them to leave the old path? You know what has caused the church, amen, to leave the Holy Ghost and the Spirit route and take the sports route to win people at any price? Amen. It's just unbelief. All over again. They're tired of seeking God. They're tired of getting hold of God. To tell the truth about it, the deep-rooted secret of the matter is they're tired of God. Oh, they talk behind their backs, tongue and cheek, about old L.L. and how mean he is and how he don't never preach out of the New Testament and how he don't preach about love. But really, the one they hate is Jesus. And the one that they're really bitter at is God. Amen. The Holy Ghost is not good enough to get people into church any longer.
The move of the Holy Ghost is not good enough to get people saved any longer. Amen. If we get them saved, we've got to give them large doses of the world, large doses of pleasure, large doses of fun, and preach to them all of this and Jesus too.
Amen. They say, we pray, we talk in tongues, but their very prayers are a mockery. Their talking in tongues is blasphemy. Their mockery of the move of God and their dancing in the Spirit, etc., is just a cheap imitation of a reality that they learned about a long time ago in another time at another place. Amen. Unbelief has sold the church down the river. Amen. And these modern Pied Pipers are going to be left standing high and dry. These ruthless miracle workers, amen, that anything goes, they say one thing on the TV and behind the pulpit and live another way totally. We found it out when they caught Jimmy Swaggart twice with known harlots. Amen. That the standards they preached and the Bible they preached and the promises they taught behind the pulpit and over the airwaves, amen, was a long way from the way they was living. Amen. God had promised that Israel would go back home. But before there would be an Ezra, before there would be a Nehemiah, before there would be a Zerubbabel and a Haggai, amen, to encourage the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the temple, before there would be a scant remnant to go back, they had to be a group of people that met the conditions. Oh yes, God has promised it, but it's not inevitable, and it's not for everybody. Unconditionally, that claims to be a church member, that claims to be Pentecostal, that claims to be full gospel even. Amen. The return to revival, the return to reality, the return to the power of God is for that few that meet the conditions. Daniel read the promise. Amen. And Daniel begins to pray. Why did he pray? Because he'd like to have a part in the fulfillment, in the realization of the promise. Daniel would never get to go back to Jerusalem, as far as I know, in his lifetime. God said in the 12th chapter, thou shalt stand in thy lot. Amen. In the last days. God had other plans for Daniel, but Daniel would have a part in it. Here he is, fasting and praying. Why did he fast and pray? He realized it was time for something to happen, that the 70 years was over. He's old and gray-headed now. He may not get to go back. He's knocking 90. And he may not make that 600-mile journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. But he'll have a part in it. What can you do to bridge the gap? What can you do to save the day? What can you do to become part of the remnant that comes back with holy fullness and the power of God that will make these faults and imitations pale before the reality of Christ? What can you do? Amen. Here it is. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession. Hallelujah. In order to be among God's remnant nowadays, in order to shed the dirt and dust that the devil would throw on us nowadays, we need to be good repenters. Amen. They tell me about a white flower that grows at the mouth of the coal mines oftentimes. But it remains white
despite the fact that everything around it is dull and dismal because of the dust from the coal mine. Amen. A gentleman saw the flower blooming at the mouth of the coal mine. Amen. And made mention how beautiful and how white it was in such dismal surroundings. Amen. And one fellow said, let me show you something. He took a handful of black dust and threw it on that white flower. And that white flower shed all that black dust off and remained glistening porcelain. White. Praise God. Tonight that godly remnant is like that white flower growing at the mouth of the dark cave that has enveloped much of a professed church today. Praise God. But just as soon as the devil threw some black dust on them, they repent. They make their confession. They shed it off like water off a duck's back. And Daniel is making his confession. He's surrounded by drunkenness. He's surrounded by surfeiting. He's surrounded by kings and leaders and rulers that are indulgent and wicked and drunken and glutton. And you know what he does? Surrounded by everything and him just a slave. Him just a captive. Him having been captured in his youth and taken from his native land, from his father and mother. Right away, a little voice on the inside says, make it the best way you can, Daniel. You're a captive now. You can't pay any attention to the old fogey ideas that didn't work for you back in Jerusalem. Now look where you are. But when the command came to eat the king's bread and meat and drink the king's wine, Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego refused to do it. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. If it had been like a lot of Christians on vacation and away from home, they would have indulged quite extensively. They'd have drank a little and eat a little regardless. Amen. Not Daniel. Not Shadrach. Not Meshach. And not Abednego. But the wonderful thing about those four boys, even though they were in bad conditions, surrounded by bad laws and a bad kingdom and evil gods, they even changed their names, but they didn't change their glistening white character. They threw the dust of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego on them, but they still remain Hananiah. Yeah. Amen. Azariah. And what was the other? Mishael. Amen. Hallelujah. They were still porcelain white. When it was against the law to pray, Daniel prayed anyway. It's not against the law to pray, and almost nobody is doing much of it. Why? We've got too much. Who needs to pray? Amen. We're making good money. We got plenty to eat. If we get sick, we've got insurance. We got good hospitals. We got good doctors. Who needs to pray? I'll tell you what, that bunch is not going to have it. That bunch is going to be left like they're standing still. Amen. The only ones that's going to have a future with God are those that fast and pray and supplicate and put sackcloth on their spirit. Praise God. Ashes on their soul. And pray unto the Lord their God and make their confession. Say, O Lord, great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love Him and keep His commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. It's hard to get backsliders to admit their sins. Here's the way backsliders admit their sins nowadays. They say, well, I know I've done wrong, but everybody has. I know I've sinned, but we all have. That's not the problem. Amen. We got to come right down to brass tacks and say, it's me, O Lord. It's me. Standing in the need of prayer. Praise God. Daniel didn't pass the book, even though he's one of the most perfect men in both Testaments. And God gave him a vision into the future in which the frame of future prophecies all have to fit. Amen. Glory to God. You'll even have to find the church between the 69th and 70th week of Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. How did Daniel get that revelation? How did Daniel get such insight into the future and know that there would be a future for himself and God's remnant? Amen. He sought God. Amen. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. What's he doing? Amen. He's closing the distance between promise and fulfillment. And have done wickedly and have rebelled. What's the cure for rebellion? Admit it. Amen. Praise God. Brother Havis told about the sister down in southern Arkansas that dipped snuff and said she would have been delivered many times as God moved in the service. She thought nobody knew it, but she would have been delivered if she had just said snuff. But she wouldn't say snuff. She was like Sister Emmy. Amen. That when the church got to going real good, amen, unbeknownst to the church, she had her snuff box tucked in the top of her high-top shoe in those early days. Amen. And when the service got to going good, Emmy got to shouting. You know, sometimes people shout in self-defense. Amen. So Emmy wanted to appear as spiritual as the rest of them, and so she got to shouting. Amen. And while she was shouting, the buckle came loose in her high top shoe. Amen. And her snuff box came open, and Emmy was shouting up and down the aisles in a cloud of brown smoke. And didn't know it, her little mealy-mouthed husband, amen, hen-pecked husband, sitting by the sidelines, knew what kind of shape that Emmy was getting in, and he said, "Emmy, sit down." She said, "Hush up, I'm a shout," and just kept on shouting down the aisle in a cloud of brown smoke. Amen. I'll tell you something, you need to quit shouting long enough to pray through real good. You need to quit shouting long enough to repent. You need to quit shouting long enough to get right with God. That's what a lot of charismatics need to do. You need to quit shouting long enough, amen, to straighten up their crooked life. Amen. I've seen them walling around on the altar and their ladies in their breeches. Men with their ponytail. Amen. What a mockery. Amen. You got to mean business with God. You got to get down to business with God. Amen. Emmy made another sashay and she passed by. Her husband decided he better take stronger measures. He said, "Emmy, sit down. Your snuff box is open." And all the shout went out of her. Amen. Emmy wouldn't have been brought to shame if she'd have just said snuff. Emmy wouldn't have suffered such, amen, notoriety in the gossip section of the church. Amen. And her story wouldn't have been told all over the country. Praise God. If she'd have just said snuff and got rid of it. Daniel said, "We have not hearkened unto thy servants of prophet which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our father, and to all the people there." Not only did they not hearken, they killed them. Because they didn't like their preaching. They killed them because they didn't like the message. That's like killing a mail carrier because he left you a big bill. Folks, it's not the mail carrier's fault. I've had some folks hatch up some of the most stupid things on me here lately. Amen. As an excuse for quitting church. Amen. And putting words in my mouth I didn't say. Amen. And telling other people I said what I didn't say and did what I didn't do. Amen. Hey, I'm just a mail carrier. Did you read your mail right? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. I wouldn't talk too much if I was guilty. Amen. I'd just put on there, return to sender. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a right to refuse mail. You don't have to lie about it. You have a right to refuse mail. You don't have to lie on the mail carrier. Amen. Amen. One of the biggest complaints about our mail carrier is that he comes sometimes late in the afternoon. But when you come to expect him at 2 o'clock, you don't expect him at 12. Amen. It's just that simple. Don't worry about it. And if he happens to run one morning at 10:30, be glad. Amen. But don't blame the mail carrier. Praise God if he's slow. Back when he used to send out Sears and Roebuck catalogs, they don't anymore, but once a season they'd send out Sears and Roebuck catalogs. And a fellow that had a little old Jeep or something, amen, to haul them in, he got loaded down with all them Sears and Roebuck catalogs. It was going to all the people on his route. Amen. He was like Cyclone going home from revival at Carsville, Kentucky. He said them good people loaded my little Chevrolet down so good that it felt like I was driving uphill all the way home. Amen. A mail carrier may have a load of Sears and Roebuck catalogs. It may be the reason why he's late, many. Amen. He might have had some more deliveries to make, but your times are coming. Be ready. Amen. Neither rain nor snow, amen, shall stop these couriers. Praise God, the mail's going through. Cut one prophet's head off, amen, and God will send two in his place. Hallelujah. It don't do no good to get rid of the prophets. It just tells us how bad off we are. Get right with God. Amen. Daniel said, we've not been faithful. We didn't pay attention. We didn't act on the commandments of God. And, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faces, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To our Lord God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against them. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord thy God to walk in his laws, which is set before us by his servants, the prophet. Just say it, God! I've not been faithful. And God, it's not Brother Collins' fault. It's not Sister Collins' fault. It's not the preacher, nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. Every case when people backslide, they'll alibi. If you listen to the devil, you'll alibi. You'll blame it on somebody or something. Be like that old brother down in the hills of Arkansas, Prim, Arkansas, Sister Shirley knows. Amen. Hallelujah. He was seeing all kinds of eagles, every species that grows in the United States of America, the North American continent. And here's how it happened. When those broilers would die, and you have a lot of deaths in those big broiler houses where they had thousands and thousands of fryers going up. He would throw those that died in the process in the back of his old green truck and take off up to the top of the mountain and throw them up and throw them out, and the eagles got to come in and eat them. Amen. He said, I'm seeing all kinds of eagles. Hallelujah. And so the newspaper editor got a hold of it, and he sent a reporter up there, and a reporter drove his red pickup to the top of the mountain and looked all over the place, and amen, got his binoculars out and his his special cameras out, amen, with the photo lenses or telescopic lenses, amen, so he could get close-ups, and not a bird in sight. There ain't no eagles up here. The news got circulated around that the reporter said there wasn't no eagles up there on that mountain. This brother goes to the Pentecostal church down at Prim and said, come by here and I'll show you something. Amen. He throwed a bunch of them brawlers and friars in that old green pickup truck, and him and the reporter started chugging to the top of the mountain. Amen. Hallelujah. Before they even got there, the eagles had saw him a-coming afar off, and they were sitting in the tops of the pine trees waiting for him when they got there. Amen. I told a brother about it that we met down at Walmart down in Batesville, Arkansas, when I was preaching for a brother down there a few years ago. And he said, you know, he said, I got some too. And he said, in fact, he said, one day, he said, I went out to the hog lot, and he said, out there in that hog lot was one of them great big birds. I don't know whether he hit a high line or wrenched his wing in the wind or something, but he was out there in a hog lot. Think of it, an eagle in a hog lot. He didn't get the gun and shoot the eagle because he broke his wing and landed in a hog lot. But that's what a lot of people does for preachers when they go down. Amen. They get their gossip gun out and shoot them with a splattermatic. Amen. And they shoot them again, and they shoot them again, and again, and again. Amen. He didn't do that. He called the game warden. Amen. And he and the game warden come out and said, I helped that game warden capture that big bird. And he said he took him down to a hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas, that the Conservation Commission runs, amen, for animals like that, to nurse him back to health and put him back on the wing again. Why were they interested in healing that eagle? Because there ain't many of them. Why do we need to heal every homeless preacher that goes down that we can? Amen. We don't need to worsen the situation by flapping our gospel tongues. Amen. We need to heal the situation. Well, you was talking about Jimmy Swaggart a while ago. He wasn't holiness. And if he comes back, he won't come back to holiness. Because he don't know what holiness is. A lot of people claim to be holiness, don't know what holiness is. But there ain't many of us left. And if one of them falls, we need to call heaven's game warden if we can. Amen. We need to put a splint on that wing of that eagle and keep our stupid mouth shut until it's got a chance to heal. You heard me say it. Amen. And you tell anybody that needs to know it, amen, that I said it. Amen. There's a lot of folks sitting around in holiness churches and they're so stupid they'll cut off their nose despite their face. Amen. One thing about a friend of mine that they had his funeral this week. Well, he got down on the church and down on people in church, right down there in his business. Him still claiming to be saved, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, sinners coming and going. He carried on a running conversation all day long, running God's people down, running the church down. They buried him yesterday. A graveside funeral with no preacher to preach his funeral. You run so many people down so long. Amen. Flap your chops so long. Amen. You'll be buried like a donkey. Amen. It'll drag you out with dishonor and lay you in a grave that no one will want to remember. Amen. Because you played the fool, played the hypocrite, put on the dog. Amen. Daniel's not putting on the dog. He's assuming his part of the blame. He said, we have sinned. And Daniel bridged the gap for he and the remnant like him to go back, to have a revolution, to have a restoration, to have a revival, to have a renewal. Amen. It would set the stage for John the Baptist and the Son of God. Stand with me and let's pray tonight.